Chapter 11. It was late in the night, and the big teacher pulled his boat through the calm water towards the light that shone from the door and windows of his own home on the sand. Satu lay in the bow of the boat with his head on a roll of fish nets where the teacher had put him. "Rest now," the deep, kind voice had said. "This has been a frightening day, a terrible experience for you. Don't talk. Don't look back. Just rest." It was easy for Satu to rest. He didn't even need to open his eyes to know that the big teacher sat there before him with a paddle in each hand, and he knew that every stroke of those powerful arms brought him nearer home. Home? He wondered whether there would ever be home for him again within his father's house. The noises of the volcano receded into the distance, and the thundering sounded far away to Satu's ears as the teacher brought the boat alongside the wharf. He raised up then, and he saw at once that never before had the mountain behaved in so wild a manner. He knew now why the teacher had told him not to look backward. Surely no living person on Sanger would sleep this night, not with that monster blowing out sheets of flame and scattering all the earth with thunder. Even before the teacher picked up the rattan thong to fasten the boat, Hans scrambled aboard. He must have been waiting and watching there. "You were there! You were there! I knew it! I knew it!" He threw his arms around his friend and dragged him from the boat. Satu still shook a little and felt weak, but he had begun to feel much better. The two boys stood together on the wharf and looked out towards the fire mountain. Although it was deep night and a peculiar murky quality dimmed the air about them, Satu could see that something had happened to the fire mountain. He clutched Hans's arm. "Look! It has sunk. The fire is coming out of the sea." "Wait," Hans said. "Wait." Then Satu saw that flames gushed from two places, one far up at the mountain's summit and another down near the surface of the ocean. "It has been like that since sundown," Hans told him. The island boy felt his body tremble. And the big teacher, he knew? He saw that? And yet he came for me? Now Hans's mother ran out of the house on the sand with Marta in her arms. The big teacher took the little girl and comforted her against his breast, for she was crying with fear at the sight of the mountain and the unnatural heaving of the earth. With his arm around his wife, the big man turned to the boys. "You will stay here with us tonight, Satu. I am sure that no one in the village expects you home. It might even be dangerous for Guru Mula to see you." With a surge of sharp sadness, Satu answered, "I will stay." After the teacher and his wife had taken little Marta to the house, Hans and Satu still stood watching the volcano. Satu could not forget that just a short time ago he had been there on the fire mountain, with the awful crack opening under his hands, and the fire and noise and the smell of brimstone in his face. Then his mind came back to here and now. He realized Hans was talking to him. "Your father wouldn't let any of the Christian people go to the hills," Hans asked. "Have the village people gone to the hills?" "Yes, most of them went this afternoon. Tama went with them. Only the Islam teachers and a few of the village people are up here on the hill back of us." "Where are the Christian people now?" "They are at their homes in the village. My father told them to go home and try to rest, and to come back if the mountain got worse before morning." The teacher's wife laid mats on the floor of the big room and told the two boys they might sleep there, but both of them were too excited to sleep, and in the end they sat outside on the salt grass and watched the volcano. "How did you know where I was?" Satu asked Hans. Well, I felt sorry because Gola wouldn't let me go along to fish, and I didn't feel like playing at the sand village anymore. I took Marta in, and after we had eaten and she was asleep, I climbed up to our perch in the rocks. I thought about what you had told me of the meeting they had in Guru Mula's house last night, and how they were trying to force you to follow Islam, and then I began to feel afraid. Could you see Gola's boat from up there? Oh, yes, it was just a little speck out there, but I could see it hang there like a black dot on the horizon. I looked at the volcano, too, and it seemed to be acting worse than we had ever seen it before. Did you stay there the rest of the day? No. After I had watched the boat and the mountain for a while, I saw something was going on over at the village. People were packing their cooking pots and rolling their mats. Then I saw them climbing up the path to the hills. I came down then because I thought if they were going to go up to the high land, maybe we should go too. Why did you decide not to go? The Christian people all came over to our house. They said that the chief had told them to go to the big teacher for protection, that the fire spirits were about to destroy the house on the sand. Weren't you all afraid? Oh, yes, I suppose so. But my father had them all stay, and we sang and prayed and sang some more, and now they have gone back to their houses to sleep. They won't sleep this night, Satu said as he watched the volcano. I still don't know how you found out that I was out there. Towards evening, Hans went on with his story, when I thought the fishing boat was about to return, I climbed back up to the rocks to see if it was coming. I saw it all right, not far from the fire mountain. I couldn't understand why they pulled in so close to the volcano. It looked to me as if they paddled directly towards it. When I saw the boat touch the beach, you know, the place where we saw the big bird, I knew something bad had happened. It was just sundown, but after the boat came on towards the landing here, I thought I could see something on the sand. It looked a little like that big bird we watched, but I was sure it must be you. Did you meet the boat when Gola and Guru Mula came back? Yes, I ran down from the rocks and I waited for them here. I'm sure they expected me to be here. They both looked very sad and said they had bad news for the chief, that you had stood up in the boat to help haul in a net and had fallen into the sea. Gola told of how they tried to get you out, but your body was all tangled up with the net, and while they worked to get you loose, a shark came up. And then I ran back to our house, shouting in our own language to my father. I told him that they had put you on the volcano. Of course, they must have heard me shout, but I suppose they thought that I shouted from fright because of what had happened to you. And then the new mouth of fire opened on the volcano? It had already opened before the men got to shore. They saw it. I think they were frightened, but they did not leave the fish. They took it all up to the Islam teachers' houses. It took several trips, and the other men came down and helped them. Hans explained to Satu how all the Christian people had come out to see the new mouth of fire in the volcano, but the big teacher didn't tell anyone that Satu was out on the mountain. Of course, none of the village people knew that Satu had gone with Gola, and the day had been full of terror and excitement. Before the men had finished unloading the fish, the teacher had sent the Christian people home.